speaker mode.
Okay. So, yeah, so let's try for next week to already, to you know, to engage with the topic of Stakos. So that's the sugya of Tess through Yud. We started from Tess of an Aleph. And just, you know, we'll see how much we can get through. It's a long, we're not going to be able to do all of it, unfortunately, but at least, you know, try to get through some of the big issues. So, you know, Gemara, start with the Shakamataria and the Gemara Shitosis, and of course the Rambam and the Ravid, and the Ravid and Balamor, or the Balamor and the Ravid, on the Rif. And again, you'll see the discrepancy. This is something that we mentioned earlier when we talked about the Ravid's, you know, terrific formulation of B'dikas Chametz Nitkana Ala Safek. And we pointed out that it's a little strange that he, you know, doesn't follow through with that, and on the contrary, being aware of that, you know, doesn't in any way inhibit, I guess, his criticism of the Rambam. So we'll see what we can do about that. But just in general, first let's look at the bigger topic and see what we can get through. And I'll give you specifics on, you know, hopefully on Thursday. But already should start looking through that. So. What's that? Well, it's we can do them at the same time. Yeah, it really is kind of. I saw Ruben Disa come on, Ruben Leisa come on, and Chazaka. Keep it on the list. Okay, but you're leaving us. You know, you're not leaving.
Just my gov.
Ah, I hear that. Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that. Okay, so let's continue where we were in the moment. We're discussing Birchas HaMitzvah. So, yeah, and then we'll definitely need Thursday also to finish up because I want to talk about the Al and the Lamed issue. Again, this is a massive topic and a window into so many other issues, as we discussed. So, you know, we're not going to be able to go through all of it. We just don't have the time, but... you know, we can sample a few things and then they can serve as a paradigm for how to discuss other topics. And we'll have to leave it at that. But the pratim, of course, of each individual topic, I mean, you could learn, you know, the nuances of many mitzvos through this particular theme. It's a window, as I say, an open window. Okay, just one other point very quickly regarding B'dikas Chametz before we continue. I was saying that we should look at the different formulations of what the Chiddush of the Gemara is at a Bodek Tzorech Sheivarech, and we already discussed the Ritva and the Rosh and the Ran and some of the others, but I just also wanted to bring to your attention just an interesting Lashon of the Tosa Rosh, and I want to thank Eitan, because Eitan presented me with the, you know, the newfangled Tosas HaRosh, not just newfangled, I think it was the only one published as far as I know I'm talking. So the there are some very interesting things here, as we've been informed by those who had them all year. So it's just, you know, very worth looking at. So the Anabodek Tzorech Sheyivarech, the Tosas HaRosh's language is just a little bit different. Says the lo tema ena kol kach mitzvah chashuva. Again, that's very different than some of the other formulations that we. Not that it's not a mitzvah. Not, you know, that you know, it's only an iser. Although again, kimin she'ena ela levayra chametz min habayis. But there's a double implication here. Again, one is with regard to bedikas chametz itself. Again, this idea that, you know, it's in a mitzvah chashuva, but also with regard to the hava mina that you might have been mechalek between mitzvos chashuvos and mitzvos ein chashuvos with regard to the requirement of birchas mitzvah in general. Because who cares if it's not a mitzvah chashuva as long as it's a mitzvah? You know, the others are kind of saying, well, you don't make a bracha on a negative. This is explaining a little bit that since it's levaya rachametz min habayis, but he's not saying, you know, that it's not a kiyum. You know, it's like an iser, asay, or something like that. He's saying, and therefore that's not appropriate. There's no kiyum, you know, hamitzvah. It's more like a, you know, a reinforcement of the lav. It doesn't sound like that's what he's saying. It sounds like what he's saying is that there are are mitzvahs chashuvos and mitzvahs she'enot chashuvos. Even if it is a kiyum and it is a mitzvah, nonetheless, there would have been a havamina to think that kol mitzvahs mivarchen aleihem over la'asiyasan requires a mitzvah chashuva. So both the characterization and the implication with regard to brachos more generally is worth noting. Of course, again, you know, like with the others, what is the, you know, kamashmalan takeaway here? The kamashmalan takeaway, you know, is that the depiction of bedikas chametz is entirely accurate. Nonetheless, you know, the range of mitzvos that require brachos, you know, includes even the ones that you might have thought, you know, would not, you know, require that kind of, you know, attention. So then here, the point would be, in a chanami, b'dikas chametz is a mitzvah she'ena chashuva, but, you know, ena chashuva is not a reason to exclude, you know, birchas hamitzvah. Or, the assessment or the reassessment has to do with b'dikas chametz itself. Meaning you might have thought that it's limited for reason A, B, C, D, whatever they are. We've seen quite a few of them. That's why this is such an important sugya. But, or such an important issue, because the formulations are really important. But the kamashmalan is that that's not the way to look at b'dikas chametz. We should be looking at it either on a drabbanan level or a deraisa level as something which is chashuva, which is a kiyum, and which is a positive. It creates, you know, the status of bais baduk, or chametz yadua v'chametz she'ena yadua, or it's the intellectual kind of, you know, prelude to the biur. Whatever the reason is. So again, it's the same question, but it's a very interesting formulation that doesn't appear in other Rishonim. In the footnotes here, he also just talks about some of the Achronim, you know, how they weigh in, what they say about B'dikas Chametz. So again, just, Mary, I didn't get a chance to look them up, but the Tzlach is quoted as saying that the problem in B'dikas Chametz is that it's ala safek. So I think that's also, you could reduce that to the things that we've been talking about, meaning, you know, it's more on the Iser side than the Kiyum side. We just want to make sure, you know, that there, it's like, you know, basically a siag or whatever for, you know, for Balyro Bayimate, and that's what he means by it. But I don't think so. I think that it has more to do, likely, with the question of Safek itself, like Nitkanala Safek, that idea. You know, not the Nitkana part, but the Safek part. That's a really interesting question when you have, what is the status of a Safek, you know, when it comes to mitzvos, and can you make a bracha al safek? The bracha al safek typically doesn't, you know, it's a different situation. Obviously, you have a situation where you have a safek chiyuv, or a safek if you already made a bracha, and then we have rules, you know, of sfeik adorban lakula, or safek brachos lahakel, which probably are two different things, although they might overlap. But here it's a little bit of a different issue, and that is, you know, is a mitzvah which is betorah safek, is that kind of a mitzvah that requires a bracha? That's an interesting question. And of course, the idea of demai and the idea of bedikas chametz and some of the other things that we have, you know, previously discussed. And then the question of, you know, is it vadai when there's a safek, or, you know, when there's a safek, it's a vadai lo, you know, until you know otherwise, like things like mamzer and other things, that becomes an interesting. So again, these are just interesting formulations, both about b'dikas chametz and about the din of birchas hamitzvah. Yeah.
I just wondered, what did Rebbe think the hagdara for chashuva would be, especially if we were talking about the tosas arash? It's a very subjective.
Right. Well, he himself makes it clear that it's being negative, kivin she'ena ela levara chametz min abayis, is what makes it eino chashuv. Now that could be related to the fact that, you know, that it's safek, or it could be related to the fact that it's more driven by the tzad ha'iser, or by, you know, precluding something, you know, than by doing or accomplishing something. I just think it's interesting that instead of just saying that more directly, which we have Rishonim saying, this is, you know, a kind of a more of an Iser driven or a negative, you know, make sure that it's not, you know, then that in itself is not a kiyum, and therefore there's no bracha. Instead of saying it that way, that becomes, you know, a part of the criterion for what constitutes chashuva or ena chashuva, and that becomes the, you know, koveya. That's what it sounds like. I'm assuming that, like the reading of all Rishonim, I'm assuming that we should take it, you know, the language very seriously, that it's not just a loose formulation for saying one of those other things.
I just thought we were saying, I thought this was different than the Rush himself.
Say again?
I thought we were suggesting something for the Tosfos HaRash that was different.
Yeah, I think it is different than the Rush.
The Rush says the same thing except for Chashuva.
Right. So I think the Rush alone is saying this is a negative mitzvah. It's not a kiyum. That's exactly my point. I have the Rush, you know, in mind. But and the Tosa Rush is saying that that point makes it Eina Chashuva. Right, and I think that's a little bit different. Again, not earth-shattering different, you know, but different enough to take note of and to think about. Okay. So we were discussing the question of how to locate Birchas HaMitzvah in Brachos, and in particular we're pursuing three different, you know, ideas. Either that Birchas HaMitzvah belongs to Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, there are some indications of that, or that Birchas HaMitzvah is kind of like Birchas HaNenin, and it's more like a matir in that respect, and we tried to explain that a little bit. Or number three, that Birchas HaMitzvah is a category in its own right, and that category is consequential, to kind of add benefit or value or framework to kind of ensure or instill certain dimension to the performance of the mitzvah, whether it's lishma or kavana or the beautiful language of the ritva, the double language of the ritva, you know, the spiritual before the physical, you know, preparation, or just, you know, acknowledging and realizing, you know, the reason that you're doing things. And then we talked a little bit about lishma and kavana, you know, and misasek, in the performance of mitzvot generally, and how the bracha, you know, may be, you know, an antidote or an inoculation against that, etc. Okay, so I want to continue with that for a couple of minutes. We'll see how far, you know, if we can get beyond that today. But so, with regard to the question of, I don't know how this sprung a leak or something, but no. Okay. With regard to the question of Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, I'll work backwards just a little bit. With regard to the question of Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, I think that there is something important to add to the mix, and that is, as we already noted, that typically Birchas Shevach V'Hodah follow and constitute a reaction or a response to, to the phenomenon. You know, we're usually dealing with natural phenomena, you know, an earthquake, lightning strike, clap of thunder, or could even be some sort of actual experience, personal experience, arba tzrichin lahodos, if you assume that that's also, you know, similar to that, birchas hagomel. But also, what happened here? The question of encountering a great person, a melech. Typically, the response is always to it, and therefore it has to follow it. You don't anticipate the experience, make a bracha, you know, and then enjoy the experience. So, is it conceivable, you know, that birchas hamitzvah, which is characterized, at least l'chatchila, by the principle of kol ha-mitzvos mevarchen aleihem over la'asiyasan, is it possible that that could be true even though, you know, we flip the order. So I think that's just, you know, something. And again, we do find Makoros that seem to compare Birchas HaMitzvah to Birchas HaMazon, Birchas HaMitzvah to Birchas HaTorah. We'll get to Birchas HaTorah, back to Birchas HaTorah just a minute, but we've already established Birchas HaMazon certainly is Birchas Shemach V'Hodah. It may be the you know, Bracha D'Raisa, although we've established that there might be a few other Brachas D'Raisa, but the one that's unequivocally D'Raisa, you know, Medina de Gemara, is, of course, Birchas HaMazon, V'Chalta V'Savato V'Rachta. So the comparison, you know, implies that this is serious, and some of the Lashonos, you know, imply that as well. But I think that the what you have to say is that the question of, you know, following or preceding the bracha then is not a hardcore din, you know, in the type of bracha that it is, but that depending on the type of experience that it is, right, the Birchas Shevach is, you know, anticipatable, and maybe also even, you know, by anticipating it, maybe even through a bracha, right, enhanced. And in that sense, you know, there's an overlap between some of the things I spoke of in, you know, according to the perspective that Birchas HaMitzvah is a standalone, and a little bit Birchas HaMitzvah according to the perspective that it's an example or an application of the idea of Shevach V'Hodah. The idea being that when you encounter something physical and natural, but it doesn't have to be natural, it could also be, you know, personal salvation, or again, meeting somebody who's impressive, never mind, you know, Marabu Masech HaShem, just, you know, kind of experiencing, you know, nature in a way that is very, you know, impressive. So, of course, the experience is always, is typically, I would say, you know, goes beyond, transcends, you know, the anticipation. And it is what it is. You're responding to that experience. And therefore, it's not like you need preparation. Sometimes the absence of preparation is actually beneficial, because then you, you know, kind of are experiencing it in a very, you know, natural way, and you know maybe too much anticipation, you know, might engender disappointment, or, you know, imposes, I guess, you know, your anticipation on the experience, and that dilutes it somewhat. So the idea that typically a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, you know, when it comes to an experience or a phenomenon, is going to be la'achar ha'maisa, is very reasonable. However, if we take the view that, you know, we're also waxing eloquent, you know, about spiritual experiences, the opportunity asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, you know, and basically we're celebrating, you know, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos, you know, as Israel. But again, not just in the narrow way of, you know, stacking or padding, you know, your resume, you know, with more mitzvos and more zchuyos, you know, for the benefit that accrues to that. But on the contrary, again, the idea of, you know, meeting the Rabbeinu Shalom through, you know, Torah mitzvos, and that being what the gift is really all about. So, it's not the physical experience, obviously. It's, you know, I think on two levels. Number one, it is the anticipation and the awareness of what it is that you're about to do enhances the experience. It doesn't dilute it at all. That's why, you know, preparation for Dover Shebikdusha, you know, Hazmana, you know, itself is a kind of, you know, dimension of Kedusha. That's why discussion, whether you need Hazmana Milsa, you know, things of that sort. I don't want to get into that also again now, but I think it is related to this issue. In Kedusha Bli Achana is like a motto, but it has a lot of meaning and significance. So to really, you know, guess to Mashal Amad Dover Dome, you know, hopefully this is true, you know, a Chagamatzos, you know, in the aftermath of learning Masechet Pesachim and many other topics, is hopefully a different experience, you know, than you know, the same Chag HaMatzos, you know, without that knowledge. In a way, this is what Rabbi Avraham Nahar, in a famous piece that I like to quote, where he, you know, discusses the principle of mitzvos lav lihonos nidnu. This is the Rabbi Avraham Nahar in the Darim Daf Mem Ches, basically says that the principle of mitzvos lav lihonos nidnu doesn't apply to Talmud Torah because of Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Masan Chelev. But to explain that, he kind of adds that when you, you know, when you study something and you understand it, you know, so then when you perform it and you, you know, relate to it, your experience is totally different. And that's true. It's not just that you come, you know, from a position of power in knowing what to do and to do it properly, but the kinyan and the, you know, the personal side of it and the meaningfulness of it, if you've been exploring those dimensions or thinking about it in advance. So I think what you could argue is that the, you know, both the experience itself is transformed by preparation. And therefore, and that too is part of the Birchas Shevach Vahoda, the anticipation of it and the preparation for it is really part of it. And therefore, even if you take the view that this is Shevach Vahoda, you're, you know, you're saying, wow, you know, there's thunder and there's lightning, you know, and there's lulav and there's shofar. You know, of course they're different. But in the sense that they are expressions and manifestations of, you know, divine presence and also opportunities, you know, through which, or media, and through which you can appreciate and then intensify your kesher, your bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that sense, it's all Birchas Shevach Vahoda. But one is going to be subject to anticipation and enhanced by anticipation, and the other, dafka, not. So I think that that's an important perspective to think about. Yeah. Go ahead, Tanya. That's which one are you talking about? The one in Bava Kamma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yud Zayin or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You have language there? That's absolutely correct. Oh, can everybody hear? One second. Hold on one second. Let me make sure. Hold on one second. Wait. Ah. Okay. Go ahead, Tony.
He says, Miri in Bavakam Yadayin says, Chatama miyafes hamaisa umashlimo ba mitzvah milu peres yoser shiyotas mipi ayudea yana.
Yeah. So that's the Miri in Bavakam. I had that in mind a little bit. I always try to connect that with the Rabbi Avraham Nahar. But thank you. The Miri in Bavakam Adaf Yadayin. And Godal Talmud shemevi lidei maisa. Which he means by to say that the limud enhances the action. Not just that it brings you to it. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I just want to connect that with the Miri and Sota says that the bracha for Birchas Kohanim, and it could be all Birchas Mitzvah, it's unclear, even though it's not Makeves, if you say it, it's hit or mitzvah.
It adds to the mitzvah itself. That might be... right. That also goes to the point of Birchas HaMitzvah being a kiyum in the mitzvah itself. Here I was trying to explain more, even from a Shevach Vahoda point of view, right, why or how, you know, it's possible to flip the order if you're talking about the same kind of Chefza Shel Bracha. But right, I agree with that. Yeah. Anytime you have expressions in Rishonim and Mepharshim that imply that the Bracha contributes, enhances the experience, you know, could very well also be what we were talking about, which is that it's more kavana, it's more lishma, there's more sense of being a mitzvah, all the things that we discussed the other day. But thank you; those are both good, good formulations. That's the that's the Mirin Sota where that's in the Lament, as I recall, right?
Yeah, I think it's like
Mem or
Seba.
Oh, Mem. And the Birkas Kohen. Oh, you have it up on the sheet, on the thing there? Let's see. Ah, okay. Okay, good. Afa Pishen Bracha Makeres Hidur Mitzvah. Yeah. So, again, that's an interesting, because Hidur Mitzvah typically relates to the way in which you perform a mitzvah. Right? Or it's a general kiyum in Zekei Livan Mehu. Obviously, this is not a general kiyum, and it's not, you know, has nothing to do with the quality of how you perform the mitzvah, the Maisa mitzvah, or what Heftzashel mitzvah you used. Right, Tani? So the idea is that you are, it's very similar to, again, to the line in the Ramban that I was talking about before, which is that even on mitzvah Saint Srichos Kavana, it's always a mitzvah, you know, to add the Kavana. So again, that's, you know, not just a general din, probably. That's a din in the particular mitzvah. Because you're doing it b'chavana, it's a different experience. So the idea that that would also apply to attaching the bracha to it is very consistent. But I think that's more consistent with the view that of birchas ha-mitzvah as a kiyum in the mitzvah, you know, more than what I was just talking about, you know, a minute ago about, you know, the anticipation versus the reaction or response. Yeah.
This overlaps with what Rebbe was saying, but could you say just in more pragmatic terms that you can't anticipate experiences, but you can anticipate the mitzvah that you're about to do?
Well, I think when you anticipate an experience, it's always either more or less, but, you know, I mean, let's say you know it's about to, you know, thunder, and you've had experience of thunder before. So I wouldn't say that you can't conjure up an image of it, but
the Thunder Tone is kind of like that. You can't really ever know when the first thunder is going to come.
I mean, you're saying something else. You're saying you're in control of this because you're doing it.
Which overlaps, I think, with Rebbe's idea, but that mitzvahs are like you're creating the experience.
Right.
An encounter with
it. Right. I just don't think it's only pragmatic in the sense that you know, it's biyadcha here, it's not biyadcha there, you know, therefore here you can do it in advance, you know, and there you can. I think it's more than that. Right. Okay. Very good. So I think it's a really important idea. It's just, again, we, you know, brachos are, you know, sometimes, you know, hayman deboilim heve chasida, you know. So one of them is l'kiyume mili, you know, de brachos. So I always think that the Nezikin one, you know, the Avos one is obvious, and the Brachos one is obvious, and the Nezikin one is the Kiddush. I guess we get that again in Bava Basra. But the Brachos one is because, you know, the different types of Brachos that exist, and things like what we're discussing now, which is, you know, trying to analyze the relationship between the types, really highlights different, you know, ways of internalizing our relationship with the world and with the Rabbanu Shalom. Before, after, it's Ma'akev, it's not Ma'akev, you know, it's Doraisa, it's Drabanan, you know, the Nusach HaBrachos, all these things. So being an expert in Brachos isn't something that's just technical. I mean, obviously you should be an expert in all areas of Halacha, but, you know, Shinanta Levanecha, Shei Devri Torah, Mishunadim, Mimuchudadim, Bepicha, but the point is, you know, probably in all cases, not just to know all the facts, but that's good too, and not only not to trip up, which is also good too, but to really understand it more deeply and to internalize it and to be transformed by it. So yeah, so these issues are very important. Okay, getting back to the matir idea just for a couple of minutes before we get back to a couple of quick points on Birchas HaMitzvah, I'm not sure if we'll get beyond that today, is to speak about a little bit more. Again, I was trying to explain, it's based on perhaps the Rambam, as we discussed, Kishem, the Rav's idea, but especially the Rav's understanding also what it means to require a matir, like what is that? What does that mean? When it's kol anenim and olam hazoh below bracha rezemol, you know, it's something, again, you're taking something that belongs to someone else, you know, without acknowledging it, and that there's an aspect of gezel or me'ila, you know, that part, the matir, the need to do something to neutralize that, you know, problem, you know, that part we understand very well. Not sure if there's a leak in the thing, or So, or I spilled it and didn't know about it? Okay. Maybe I... Oh, thanks. Wow. Talk about being handy, and, you know. That's, like, amazing. So, So this idea, you know, of course, you know, to apply this idea to, you know, to mitzvos or to Talmud Torah, you know, is a huge leap. You know, it's a conceptual leap and a spiritual leap. But basically, I think it's a very compelling idea, and namely this idea that, and it comes again from, you know, numerous Gemaras that speak about, you know, the ability to, are you allowed to add, you know, to the shvachim of the Ravonu Shel Olam, and again, Nora Tehilos, what that really means, the Gemaras in Brachos and in Megillah, you know, which Kela Godola Gibora Nora, can you only say the ones, you know, that we find that the Avos, you know, kind of already established and, you know, kind of sanctioned, or in Tanakh, or like, you know, maybe you're creative and poetic and, you know, it comes from your heart. Maybe you can, you know, expand on your own. So this is like a practically very interesting practical question. How much license, you know, do you have, you know, in terms of, you know, reaching out to the Rabbanu Shalom within the world of mitzvos, you know, and ritual and mitzvos and so on, and in general, you know, also in tefillah. What about creating, you know, more tefillah, piyutim? Can you compose piyutim? Asher, are you allowed to compose piyutim? I don't know. Or what about just poetry? Ah, she wrote. But that's a very, very interesting question. So in the world, for example, of Brisk, like they were very, I mean, I know this from the Rav, but I think he was reflecting it from, you know, from the Masorah of the family. Like, you know, very, on the one hand, you know, the, you know, creative, the appreciation for creativity and initiative, you know, in personal nofach is huge. And on the other hand, you know, the idea that where there is, like, established, you know, ritual, you know, protocols, you know, that you have to be really careful about them. Number one, be very medaktik in them, but number two, you know, not necessarily to be mosif on them. Like, that's part of the tradition. And again, other masoros, you know, within Eilevelu and Divrei Kim Chaim are much more laissez-faire about that. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't have, you know, extra tfilos and bakoshos and tchinos and piyutim, you know, and so on. Like, the Rav's tendency always was, you know, we don't change, you know, minhagim, very, you know, rigorous about that. And we don't, you know, add tfilos. Again, part of his reticence and things like, you know, Hallel and, you know, Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim and adding, let's say, Piyutim or Kinos, you know, comes from this whole orientation. And I think it has two elements to it. One is a huge appreciation for the creativity and the authority of Chazal themselves. You know, feeling like, you know, the Chachmei Masorah did this already. And, you know, whatever they, you know, left us as a legacy, like, is sufficient. I'm a little bit, you know, I feel badly. There's a lot of hashkafa in here, but I hope that's okay. But I think these are the topics that are, that I think these are, I think the halacha of these topics includes hashkafa, so you'll excuse me a little bit. But basically, the, you know, I think there was this enormous appreciation for the talents and the kind of, I wouldn't say Ruach HaKodesh necessarily, but the, you know, the Siyata Deshmaya, we'll call it, the insight of Chachmei HaMasorah, who were able to do this, in the sense that they left us, you know, with, you know, the means to adequately, you know, characterize and articulate, you know, religious experiences. That's number one. You know, coupled with the sense of inadequacy and the sense of trepidation, you know, and reticence, you know, which is another way of saying, you know, this feeling of the need for a matir. And it comes from a very deep and pure kind of Yiras Shamayim place. Like, you know, who are we? And again, the Gemara definitely says these things by, you know, Shemos Hashem and that addition. You could have understood the Gemara in a very narrow way. Like, you know, you don't know whether the things that you add are Mosif, you know, or Goreya, you know, and therefore, you know, you have to play it safe. Or, you know, you're being Mosif, but the impression that you're then, you know, giving is that you're exhausting, you know, otherwise why stop, which is what the Gemara kind of says. So for, you know, certain technical implications, or maybe beyond technical, you know, there's good reason not to, you know, not to be Mosif, because there's always the chashash of, or it is, in some respects, a giron. But the way that the Rav understood it, and again, I'm not saying he articulated it so much, you know, but this is implicit at minimum in the attention that he gave it and the way that he applied it, is that, you know, it's more than that. And that, again, it's this presumption, you know, this is something that you need a matir for, like this chus avos, invoking the avos, or invoking the figures of Tanakh, or later invoking, you know, unquestionable stature of Chachmei HaMesora, is the matir, you know. So this idea of matir was like very central to his thinking, and it was all over the place, you know, frankly. You know, in tefillah and in mitzvos, and that's really kind of the basis for this kashem idea, that like, you know, you just like there's me'ila and there's gazela in a much more subtle way, but if you're really religiously sensitive, then there's also this idea of being presumptuous, you know, just to do a mitzvah, even though the Rebbe Shalom gave you that opportunity. But, you know, it is important to repeat or to remind him or to acknowledge or to remind yourself, you know, that Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvos avitzivanu, that you're doing this because you were given permission to do it, and that you're being nichnas, you know, lifnai v'lifnim in this way, you know, because you were invited to. Or by, you know, using the proper, you know, bezos yavo aron el hakodesh, you know, and that's the details of the mitzvah. So that's why the scrupulousness of, you know, whether it's in halachos and even in minhagim and even in nuschos of tefillah was something that the Rav was very, very awkward about. So again, he was against, like, composition of piyutim, frankly. Even though, again, he loved the piyutim and he darshaned the piyutim, but those are the piyutim, you know, that the Chachmei Masora, you know, bequeathed to us. Like, he had this very strong view, you know, that, you know, we're not on that level, you know, frankly. And there's source for this and for the opposite perspective in the Rishonim, if you look at different places. And, you know, again, in different schools, you know, there are those who are like, you know, have a ready pen and are, you know, quick to compose, you know, as long as it's sincere. Again, even they, the ones who are authentic, try to build off of, you know, try to, you know, be inspired by the paradigms, you know, what themes and what, you know, approach to try to integrate Medrash and other things, you know, into Piyutim and so on. But, you know, the Rav Masora was, you know, we don't do that. You know, we have what we need and we're inadequate. We're not on a level to add. But again, the assumption of both cases is that there's a lot in the Tfilos, and that, again, Reb Chaim Mivolozhin in Nefesh HaChaim has, you know, a line or two in which he basically talks about the infinite-like wisdom of Anshei Knesset HaGdola in formulating Tfilos, and, you know, the depth of those Tfilos, and, you know, again, it's a little frightening to read it, frankly. But, you know, the perfect nuschos and the multiple meanings and so on and so forth. And that's why you have to, you know, matbea shativu chachamim, you know, is very important. It's not out of a sense of, you know, it's sometimes portrayed as like, you know, kind of empty conservatism. You know, like, oh, we don't believe in change, or we're worried if we change this or we add to that, you know. Oh, there's always that, you know, element too. You want to be Roes Hanola, you want to be careful. But, you know, it's much, much more than that. It's, like I say, it's built on an appreciation for Chachmei Masora's past accomplishments and also, you know, a real deep feeling that, you know, these are things that have to be just right, that sometimes it's Kvod Shamayim, you know, and presumption, you know, that is at stake. So that's kind of the idea behind the Matir theory. And in that case, it affects, like, you know, that's how the Rav understood, like, you know, Psukkah and Zimra, or different aspects of Tefillah and their order. Like, there are a lot of Matirim, frankly. You know, Shmon Esrei, begins, you know, with, you know, in one way, before it jumps right into Bakasha, you know, that's also kind of a Matir. So, you know, basically, this is a very broad idea. Of course, this connection to Birchas Hananin, you know, just like Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, you know, you still might be mechalik in the details. Of course, you know, Huadin Legabe Birchas Hananin. Like, even if both are Matirim, and that's the reason even for Overlas Yasan, doesn't mean that you can't be mechalik. But let me say it this way. If you take the view that Birchas HaMitzvah is an independent category, and that it's a kiyum in the mitzvah itself, for the various reasons that we discussed last time and added to today, you know, if you take either of those two other approaches, then the comparison to Birchas HaNenin as a paradigm, you know, is completely questionable. Ah. So in light of that, it's just interesting to note that this was an issue already in the time of the Gemara, as well as in the Rishonim, and of course later in the Achronim. So the Gemara in questions how you take it, in Brachos, Daf Nun Aleph, this is just seen if you looked at the Or HaZeruah and Simon Chafei, the Gemara Brachos, Daf Nun Aleph discusses the question, what happens in the case of Birchas HaNenin, right, if you didn't make the bracha in advance? A very famous Gemara. You made the bracha. You didn't make the bracha. You know, you ate. Should you make the bracha or not? I'm not talking about bracha korn. I'm talking about bracha rishonim. So, that's an interesting discussion, which we'll get to in just a second. To what extent is that going to be, you know, a paradigm for Birchas HaMitzvah? We're already familiar, because we already mentioned the major debate among the Rishonim, two major debates among the Rishonim, actually. One is, you know, the Rambam and the Or HaZeruah, namely, that what? Simcha Leib? Can you make a Birchas HaMitzvah after the mitzvah, in a mitzvah which is not mimushachas, right? Not a continuous performance. Now, even the Rambam agrees that tzitzis and tefillin and, you know, yeshiva besukkah and, you know, things like that, you could, right? The question is, what about, like, you know, kiddushin and you know, shofar and tefillah and stuff like that? Don't forget, tefillah has its own complication because of the Gemara here. But let's say in principle, right? So that's one major argument. So can you invoke Birchas HaNenin, right? And the discussion of the Gemara in Brachos, you know, for that or not, right? And the Or HaZeruah does relate to it, frankly. Interesting point. The second issue, you know, based on the Yerushalmi, but again discussed in the Rishonim, particularly by the Rav Yoh, I hope you got a chance to see it, Reish Tzadi Aleph. Josh, you saw it? Correct. What is it preferable, right, even the Chatchila, and certainly b'di'evet, could you make the bracha in the middle of the mitzvah, you know, or is it always necessary, or at least l'chatchila, that you make the bracha kodem l'mitzvah? So who argues about that? The Riva and the Rav Yoh, right? The Riva seems to say it's fine even in the middle of a mitzvah, and the Rav Yoh says, no, it's over l'asiyasa, it's got to be over l'asiyasa. So once again, is Birchas HaNenin, you know, fair source, fair makor, fair precedent for these dinim, or not? right? That's an interesting question. Oh. Now, again, there might be a common denominator anyway, and that is just, you know, the question of tziruf. Like, is there tziruf to something la'achar hamaisa? Something that's supposed to be done in advance, right? There could be two problems. I mean, you're supposed to do it in advance, you know, especially if it's a kind of a matir, by definition it should be done in advance. But, you know, the question of, you know, if you didn't, you know, one of the things you have to weigh, in addition to the efficacy of the bracha and the nature of the bracha, is the nature of the experience, right? To what extent, you know, when things are over, are they over, right? You know, Masha Avar, to use the language of the Rambam, right, in Hilchos Ishus, Masha Avar, Avar, isn't that what he says? Or Masha Nasa, Nasa, or something like that. Like, it's Mu'uvas Layuchal Itkon can be for one of two reasons, right? It could be because there's simply nothing to connect it to. So, you know, no matter what, it's just, you know, it's like a, you know, the bracha just doesn't relate to the action anymore. Or it could be that it does, but it has to do with the nature of why you have this obligation and what the nature of the kiyum is to begin with. Like, does it help you even if it's mitzurah, if it's after? Okay, so what I'm trying to say is that there could be like a larger common, even if you want to compare or, you know, you want to analyze this question of Birchas HaMitzvah in light of Birchas HaNenin, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're equating Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaNenin, because there is this, you know, maybe broader question, although again, you know, you might say that even if actually there, that, I mean, this point of tziruf actually goes in both directions, meaning even if Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaNenin or other brachos, you know, Birchas Shevach Vodo, whatever it is, even if they are fundamentally different, you know, they can be, I'm sorry, even if they are fundamentally different, they can be similar with regard to, you know, the tziruf, broader tziruf question. But it also works the other direction. I mean, even if you were to say that the mechayiv of the brachos are parallel, right, it's still possible that the experiences that we're talking about differ with regard to the tziruf question. So let's say I were to say that Birchas HaNenin and Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, are kishem, kishem, and they're both matirim. Right? I still might take a different position on, you know, especially the question of, not so much toch, but la'achar, you know, maybe, you know, in one kind of, you know, operation, you know, it's masha nasa nasa, masha avar avar. And in the other case, that's not really true. There is some, you know, lingering, you know, connection. So this is something to think about also. I think that there are really two issues, and we'll see whether that comes up or not. But just to demonstrate this a little bit, you know, quickly, it comes up here, you know, in the sugya. This I didn't give you to look at because I didn't have Tosa Rosh at the time. But I don't know, Eitan, if you saw the Tosa Rosh. Maybe not. I didn't sign it, so it's not fair. But the Tosa Rosh actually asked this question with regard to the lulav issue. Right. Meaning, the Gemara seems to say that lulav is an example of a Birchas HaMitzvah, even though mida'agbe nafikbe. This is, of course, what troubled all the Rishonim. Like, you know, well, but in the end of the day, don't we need the mitzvah to be, the bracha to be over lasiyasan of the mitzvah? So when the Gemara was quoting it for, you know, for reasons of, you know, to discuss the language of Avar and Asid and Hove and so on, that's all very well and good. But at the end of the day, what happened to Kolam Mitzos Mevarchen Aleim, right, over, you know, lasiyasan? You know, can't forget about that. And that's where the Rishonim give different answers, as we know. Right, they discuss, you know, either how you can make it over la'asiyason, or even if it's mid'ag be'nafak, it isn't really completely la'achar, you know, over la'asiyason in some respects. What about the nanuim? What about yakira Yerushalayim? You know, and that in itself is an interesting issue, right? What do you need over to be? And maybe it depends on the questions that we're discussing, or maybe it's a separate question, both in terms of tziruf, and in terms of, you know, the mechayiv of the bracha itself. There should be kodem ha-maisa, kodem ha-kiyum, you know, kodem what exactly, right? Like you could say that the Nanuim, you know, isn't necessarily the Maisa Mitzvah, certainly not Ma'akev the Maisa Mitzvah, but maybe it's an additional Kiyum, or maybe it just shows that there's still Tziruf LeMitzvah, right? Or the same thing about Yekirei Yerushalayim, you know, used to walk around all day with the, you know, with their Lulavim. You know, it certainly wasn't part of the Maisa Mitzvah, and it wasn't Ma'akev the Kiyum HaMitzvah for sure, you know, but maybe it's a Kiyum Nosaf, or maybe it's just a way of, you know, still being mitzurav to the mitzvah that you perform. Anyways, this is a question. Mid'ag me'nafek be is a big issue, and it's something that needs to be dealt with more. Both in terms of birchas mitzvah, tziruf, mechayev, etc. Okay, as well as the specific solutions and the, you know, role of, you know, holding it upside down, Kabbalah Lolotzeis, all the things that we know about. Good. Anyway, the way Tosa Rush here, Tosas asks a question, but the way Tosa Rush asks the question is, Yim Tomar Hov Nafak Bey, Kvar, Heich Yivarech, Alasiyas HaMitzvah, V'chim Shachach V'lo Birech, Borer Pri Agafen, Kodim Shtiyas, Yivarech Achar Shtiya, Halo Kol HaMitzvahs V'vorech HaMaleim, Over Lasiyas. And the answer he gives is the answers that we know. Ava bishukvar notlo, akati asuk v'mitzvah, shari tzarchlun aneyabo, right? V'od, kachayim in hagim shalanche Yerushalayim, right? Kolzmanche, asuk v'mitzvah yachal avarech. He compares it to Adam lavash talus below bracha b'oda atuf bo. That's pretty big kiddush that anche Yerushalayim is like atifas atalus, but okay. So again, there are two issues in that whole question. One is to assess, you know, these extensions and what role they really play. And the other, of course, is, you know, to determine, you know, which phase the Maisa, Tchilas HaMaisa, Emtza HaMaisa, Sof HaMaisa, Kiyum, you know, Kiyum Nosaf, Tziruf, you know, is Koveya for these Dinim. Fine. But what I'm interested in at the moment is the Raya. Now, this raya doesn't appear in Balei Tosas. V'chim shachach v'lo birech bor pri agafen konim shtia yivarech achar shtia. Right? Halo kol ha-mitzvos v'vorech ha-maleim over la-siyasa. That's not mitzvos. That's birchas anin. So I mentioned her, you know, earlier. Mar Makomis, they also quote a lot of these makoros. But this is an issue which is not isolated to the Tosa Rush. I say the Ravya, the Or Zarua, you know, they relate directly to this question. So first of all, what is the reference? And it itself is not such a Dover Pashut. It's to the Gemara in Brachos. Anybody familiar? Did you look it up when you saw the Ravya? Eitan, what's the you have it there? You have the Bracha, a very important Gemara, a Nun Aleph Amud Aleph in Brachos. Go ahead. Oh, so here, you know, they have the Gemara very directly, right? Misha achav v'shasa v'lo birech. You know, is it too late or not? Now, what's curious about it, just before we, it's interesting that the Rashi says that this is lefneim koi. That part I think is obvious, and it's a birchas hamotzi or birchas hayayin. Right? Doesn't say that in the Gemara, does it? I wonder, is there possibly a difference between Birchas Hayayin and Birchas Hamotzi and other Birchas Hanani? Why might there be?
No? Aleph covers all the other foods or drink, or maybe because it's Kovei Suda.
Yeah, it may be related to the things that we discussed, and that is that maybe there's a Birchas Suda for Mashke and for Machal, in which case, you know, if that's specifically what the Gemara is talking about, you know, we can wonder, both in terms of Tziruf, you know, after the fact, as well as, you know, Avar Zmano, Masha, Nasa, Nasa, you know, that's also kind of a Tziruf, but also in terms of the Mechayev, you know, whether that just plays a role, Lekula or Lechumra. So I just think that's a very interesting and curious issue. Again, Tosas Arash bought into it because he quotes us the Gemara as if it's talking about Birchas Yayin. Right. Anyways, this is the suffix of the Gemara. We wonder if it's about all Birchas Hananin or whether the Birchos Seuda status here, the Kula or Lechumra, plays a role. Okay. Amar Lahu, what's the answer? Eitan? What does that mean? He's saying you should make a bracha or you shouldn't make a bracha? You should make a bracha. I mean, what? Just because you neglected, so you're going to eat more and you're still going to neglect it. So it sounds like be'emtza seuda, it's a davar pashut, you know, that you should make the bracha. By the way, this is one of the most famous phrases ever, you know, and it became like a, you know, like a catchphrase, you know, like a slogan, you know, for other things, like, you know, like you did, you know, poorly till now, so you should reinforce your, you know, improper behavior. It became known for that, in a way. But, interesting. Was there really a havamina that if you didn't make the bracha, it's too late, even though you're... Because you could just explain this part of the Gemara. How, Eitan? Of course you have to make the bracha going forward. It's not a tziruf to the past. It's not a way of redeeming the past. Right, it's just because, meaning that's what sometimes or often this slogan is used to say, like, you know, you did one Aveira or you did an Aveira till now, you should continue to do the Aveira. You know, you could say the same thing by, you know, Shihiya Sachametz, you know, or things like, oh, you didn't, so she should, there's no reason to get rid of it now either. Right? Again, you could have said, well, you know, you have one opportunity for this Matir, you know, and once you're a thief, you know, you know, it's more logical to say, you know, you did bad. But does this mean or does this imply that, you know, there's a bracha la'achar? Not necessarily at all, right? That's kind of the interesting issue. Even how the phrase is used as a slogan might help us with that. So that's something to keep your eye open for in the future, I guess. But okay. Either way, then the Gemara says, interestingly, Amar Ravina. So this hilkach, like a hilkach is always what I call a drum beat, you know. What do you mean hilkach? It's out of place here, isn't it? But not really. Hilkach, and because he's making a leap, but an interesting one. I feel gamar sudaso yaksa bivarech. Right? Not necessarily. On both levels. If we say that Misha, Akal, you know, Varecho Nodev is about the future, then this certainly is not obvious, because Gomar Sudaso, there's nothing else to be matir, right? If it's predicated on redeeming the past, or it also needs at least partially to be mitzurav to the past, you know, then, and even then it's questionable, because there's still a past, maybe you need connection to the past for it to be meaningful going forward in the same context for the future, but here there's no future. So Ravina seems to be understanding this din that there is tziruf and there's also meaning, you know, in terms of the mechayev of this bracha. Hilka chafilu gomar sudaso, right, yachzir, right, v'yavarech. Okay, the Tanya. Here's where you have the overlap to our Gemara. So what do you think about that? About the Raya of Ravina? Yeah, I mean, this is a Birchas Hananin question, which Ravina is trying to be poshet, right, from Birchas HaMitzvah. Right? Well, it isn't exactly the typical Birchas HaMitzvah either. That's the next line in the Gemara, Velohi. Yeah. Now that certainly can be a tziruf issue. What we're saying is in tefillah, it's mitzuraf because you don't have any other choice. It's not like you know, neglected or deliberately were mazniach, you know, the opportunity of doing a bracha, making this bracha. And, you know, what is that? You know, it's done. You know, masha nasa nasa. Right? We know meirosh that you can't make this bracha. The only time, if there's a bracha for tefillah, the only time there could be if it, whether it's, you know, it's, if it's tefillas gerim or balkari, whatever it is going forward. Or, and, right, that's in terms of tziruf, or and, as we already discussed, that maybe because of this point, maybe dafka birchas tefila is a different kind of bracha. It's not a birchas hamitzvah, right? Maybe it's a birchas shevach v'hodah, because there's no, you know, as an aspect of birchas hamitzvah, or as a replacement and standalone, you know, instead of it. We discussed that the other day. We tried to make diukim in the Rambam, but the point is that this is a very fascinating gemara. I mean, the equation of emtsa suda with sofa suda is fascinating. The raya lechatchila in havamina from birchas hamitzvah of tvila is interesting, and even the maskana is a little bit unclear. But the direction of the Rav, the Gemara here, is to prove Birchas Hanenin from Birchas HaMitzvah. So again, if it's all about just Tziruf and that common denominator, and maybe that's what the Gemara is choosing, what the Gemara is rejecting also, you don't have to necessarily say that the Mechayvim of Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Hanenin are common. But it's much easier Gemara to understand, right, if you think that the brachos themselves, not just in terms of tziruv, but also in terms of the mechayev, are parallel, are comparable. Oh, now it's curious. How do we paskin, like Ravina, or like the Gemara's conclusion is lohi, hasamikar gavra lo chazi, hachamikar gavra chazi. So Ravina said, not only do you make the bracha in the middle, which sounds like a no-brainer, although again, I don't think it's impossible to argue with, but even if it's sof gemara su'uda, you won't do it. You won't make the bracha. I'm sorry, you'll still make the bracha. Do we paskin like Ravina or not? Again, it sounds like the end of the Gemara that we don't. But it's possible to read the Gemara that we're docha the raya, not necessarily that we're docha the shita. And that ends up being a machlokes or rishonim. So the rush, by the way, in the person who put out the edition here also makes note of it, but it's known. Most Rishonim paskin against Ravina. And they paskin that the Gemara's maskana is that, you know, while you will make a bracha be'emtza suda, misharecha no dev, but you're not going to make a bracha, you know, besofa suda. And shiny tvila, because, you know, it was nitkan to be afterwards, and so on. However you want to explain the tvila part. Okay? So that's why the Tosa Rush here invokes not Ravina, but the conclusion, like the anti-Ravina, and says, listen, you can't b'dieved make the bracha afterwards. We don't paskin like Ravina. We paskin that you don't make, you know, birchas hayayin after gemar su'uda. So huadin, you shouldn't be able to make a bracha on lulav that way. But of course, what's interesting about it is the direction. That's the, for Ravina, right, Birchas HaMitzvah was a paradigm for Birchas HaNenen. For the Tosa Rush, and we'll see this is true also for the Arzorua and for the Ravya discussion, Birchas HaNenen is the paradigm for Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay? So that's very interesting. Again, you could have said that just the raya is being nidcha. We'll see in a moment. That's the view of the Or Zeruah. You could have said that it's a special din in Birchas Hayayin and Birchas Salachem, as I said, because they're Birchas HaSeuda, and therefore La'achar HaSeuda, it's too late. But maybe that's not true about other Birchas HaNenen, frankly. Or maybe in the other direction, the only Havamina of Ravina is in Birchas Hayayin and Birchas HaSuda because it's some sort of tziruf, you know, until you actually make the bracha corona, you know, because they are more than themselves. I think it could be mechalik in either direction. In other words, a typical Birchas HaNenen is a bracha on that cheftza shel ma'achol, whereas Birchas Hayayin and Birchas HaSuda, you know, go beyond the actual food that you're eating. They're the Birchas Achila and the Birchas Shtia of the Suda. So I think there's several things you could say about this Gemara, you know, which would change the outcome. But at the end of the day, the argument in the Gemara is important. The raya, the initial raya from Birchas HaMitzvah was important, and we're not sure, you know, whether or not the conclusion and the and also the status of tefillah doesn't make it all just, you know, kind of very different. Okay, so now what about the? Let's just try to finish this part up. Ooh, it's already late. What about the Ravya and the Orzarua? So let's look at the Ravya first. Yonatan, you saw it? You didn't have a chance yet? Simcha Leib? Tartzah. I actually have it on my computer here. Okay. But that means I have to look at the people over there. So I can still use the owl, you know. Yeah. Okay. Anybody have? Anybody saw? Who saw the Ravya? David saw it? Josh? Yeah. So what is the Ravya is talking again about what?
What does it mean
overlaps the Yasan? If you, do you have it open?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could start from yeah. He starts by quoting the Rivam. Go ahead. Mefarish Mori, you have that? So you're it right. So again, let's think about that just for a minute. And this is again, it's possibly 2 days in Yerushalmi in Brachos, right? But the point is, like, how would this fit in with our analysis, Josh? From a tziruf point of view, of course, you know, be'emtza is not a problem. Like, the only problem is that la'achar is just not, it's minutak, it's just too late. It just doesn't relate to it anymore, right? You know, it's history, it's past. So be'emtza is not a problem. So that problem, of course, is neutralized. What about the problem of the true character and nature of Birchas HaMitzvah? What do you think about that?
So if it's about sort of preparing for the mitzvah itself, and seemingly lose out by doing even well, it's about enhancing the mitzvah itself. That makes sense.
Well, put it this way: if it's it is enhancing or not?
If it is an enhancement of the mitzvah, then even the emtzah maybe.
Right. If you say that Birchas HaMitzvah is a standalone din and it's something about it adds to the performance to the mitzvah, etc., then it's kind of an open question. You could definitely see how integrating it in during the mitzvah as opposed to before could even be better, beneficial. It's you know, it's different, but it's not necessarily inferior. It might even be superior in some respect, in the sense that it establishes your kavana, your prep. If it's connected to preparation or lishma, or kavana, you probably would need it in advance. If it's, you know, a way of integrating, you know, what the bracha brings, you know, to the mitzvah itself, then, you know, it might be just as good or even better to do it during. So I think that's kind of an open question. What about as a matir? Yeah. As a matir, doing it in the emtzah doesn't help you at all. Correct. Okay. So the Rivam was of the opinion that there's no benefit.
That's not necessarily true.
What?
I suppose just like we could entertain the possibility that theoretically, if there's syrup even afterwards.
Then even if there's? I'm just saying that doing the mitzvah, the part that you did before you said the bracha, you know, is compromised in a way. A little bit.
Right.
When you're doing it. It's like, you know, like the gezel, it's like, you know, you ate a little bit and then you made the bracha.
Yeah, but
you're making the bracha, so that's... I'm not saying you shouldn't make the bracha at all, but we're talking about whether there's a lechatchila at least. I wouldn't say that it's me'akev b'diavad and you shouldn't do it. You know, maybe it's like, you know, recho, you know, no Dave. You know, when you're continuing, you know, to eat. Maybe it's like that. but it definitely is preferred, you know, that you made this statement. Asher Kedishanu Mitzvosu V'Tzivanu before you did anything, right? That's not so convinced.
I think that's most likely true. I just think that theoretically, just like the preparation idea, could be the preparation also most likely is before.
Yeah. No, I said preparation is before, but integrating some of the themes, you know, of Vitzivanu, I'm a Mitzvah, whatever, that doesn't necessarily have to be before. Acknowledging, you know, and you know, that this is a basis for, you know, Kedushas Yisrael and the bond and so on. That doesn't necessarily need to be before.
Like what aspect of the mitzvah requires the matir? The more that you think the entire process or the result or the goal requires the matir, so then even if you started the maisa mitzvah, perhaps the matir.
I'm just saying default. It's not so clear to me that birchas hamitzvah is a standalone benefit. I think you can go back and forth on that question. Default, I would assume that the matir needs to be prior. I don't think it's a waste of time during, and I hear what you're saying, but I still think that that's, you know, likely. Okay, so where are we in... anyways, the Rivam felt that l'chatchila it's fine to do b'emza. Some will think even maybe it's better, you know. It can only be better, never as a matir, it can only be better as an integration if you feel that the bracha is an enhancement, you know, of the mitzvah itself. Like we talked about the Rabia, you know, the Shed, Sfiras HaOmer, and, you know, things like that. Okay, where are we? Yeah. Kinigmeres. Okay, so this is the Rivam. Now comes the Rabia. Good. Ani Omer. Yeah. So again, he acknowledges that there's a machlokas in the Yerushalmi about this, which is about the lechatchila, frankly. But since, you know, we in the Bavli say over lasiyasan, so based on the Yerushalmi, he's using the Yerushalmi, not, you know, the way that the Rivam might have, which is, oh, you know, over, during, you know, but as a counterpoint, you know, to prove what over in the Bavli must mean. Alma over lo mashma shasas yasa. Okay? Here comes the main part, the su.
Oh.
Notice he put in the brahi at that brand, Miba Emsa, yeah. Sha'achal Shum. Oh, so that's interesting what Raya he brings, right? Raya that Ravina brings, Rai Mashma Da'af Ba'achila, right, Shiyesh Shahus Levarech Be'emtza Be'inan Over La'achila. Whoa. Nadavka Shachach V'yachal Nakat. Nakam Nakat Shachach V'yachal. Okay, so what is that? What's he saying? So he's bringing a Raya from Birchas Ananin. You know, that there's always a lechatchila. No one thinks that if you're going to make a bracha in the middle of the Suda, you know, that you don't need to make a bracha, you know, in the beginning of the Suda. And no one thinks that if you did make a bracha in the beginning of the Suda and you made a bracha in the middle of the Suda, that you've completely redeemed yourself. They just think that it's better than compounding your transgression. Right? So it's clear from the Gemara there that when you're supposed to do in advance, that doesn't mean during, it means in advance. But of course, the difficulty with all this is that, and this is even according to Ravina, right? So that part isn't the problem. You don't have to pasuk like Ravina for this to be okay. But the difficulty, of course, is, sure, because that's Birchas Hananin, Kalanen Abelamazeh B'lo Bracha Rezim. Well, of course it's better, and there's a part which you ate, you know, without authorization and permission. But who says that has anything to do with Birchas HaMitzvah? which may very well be either a Birchas Shavach or, you know, something which is a kiyum and an enhancement, you know, of the mitzvah itself. So then tocha mitzvah is just as good, you know, or maybe even better. Yeah. No, I'm going
to ask. According to the Riva, if you're saying it during, is it at least doing something for the food that you've eaten before? Like saying it during the mirror, is he think it's only going to
the Rivam or the Ravya?
The Ravya, I mean, sorry. If he's saying, is it only going to work? Is it only going to achieve anything?
No, it sounds like he... it's hard to know. It's hard to know. Since he does think that, you know, since the Gemara says that Ravina's din will apply to Gemar Suda, you know, as well, so it seems pretty clear, that's a great point that you're making, it seems pretty clear that it's not only, you know, for the food that you're going to eat in the future. That's why I think why the Gemara uses the language of Hilkach and so on, because I think he knows, you know, that, you know, he's taking a leap, you know. The Svara of Reicho Nodev doesn't necessarily translate into La'achar Asuda. Okay, anyway, so I think that the Ravya would have to acknowledge that. But I think what the Ravya is saying is that either way, what we've demonstrated, you know, from that sugya, is that Lifnei is always better than Toch, and certainly better than La'achar. Right. I think his Raya is more from Reicho Nodev in the middle, you know, and even though it's still true for the La'achar, you know, that's not the main point, actually, even though that's a bigger Kiddush in the Gemara. So that's really a good point that you're kind of highlighting that. So, yeah. Okay, so that's the Rav Yehuda. Parallel in the Or Zeruah, Josh, you saw the Or Zeruah? You know, the famous one. In Simin Chafei, so that's in the context of Kriyat Shema. Can they still see me, actually? Yeah, right? Even though I have my little... Oh, I didn't need that. I could have just gotten it through there. Ah, okay. Either way. Okay. So the Or Zeruah is talking about... What's the context of the Or Zeruah? Josh? Also very interesting, right? It's not Birchas Hananin, originally. What is it? Birchas Kriyat Shema. Like, what happens if you didn't say Yotzer or something, you know, before, can you say it after Kriya Shema? That isn't necessarily Birchas HaMitzvah either, frankly, right? Because it's part of Tefillah, right? That's a big issue in its own right. Right? What is the status of Birchas Kriya Shema in general, right? Is it, you know, a Kiyum Bifnei Atzmo, a Kiyum in Kriya Shema, you know, the famous discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid, we talked about it last year, right, around this time. No, earlier, when we talked about Demai and, you know, Safek. What's the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid?
Actually, the Ravid kind of uses the language from here, in some of
that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Whether you can make a Berchas Kamazim on...
If you have a Safek and you have to perform the mitzvah, right, again, right, do you make the bracha as well? Right, let's say, for example, you're not sure whether you did a particular mitzvah. Doraisa. So let's say, safek doraisa l'chom, you have to repeat them. Do you make the bracha or not? Or is that safek brachos l'hakel? Right? So he discusses this in a bunch of places, a famous argument between the Rambam and the Ravid, in a bunch of places. What about Yeshiva Pesukha Bishmini? And what about Safek Mila? You know, and of course when they discuss Demai, so like Yavyanta Sheni, Shel Golios, you know, Mishum, you know, Zilzul, you know, that's one extreme. You have Demai, you know, that's another extreme, right? Or really Demai is a Machlokas in the Gemara, Bai and Rava. In the Gemara and Shabbos. This is what we discussed a little bit last year, but it's a famous discussion. And the upshot of it all is that the Rambam's general view is that you don't make a bracha, right? In Safek, if it's Safek, but you're going to do the mitzvah, you still don't make the bracha, right? That's like tum tum. Anybody have that open anywhere? It's all over the place. In Milan and in Hilchos Sukkah. You have it? Hilchos Shabbos. You have it a bunch of places. Yeah, Mila? Yeah, go ahead. Just read the Rambam for a minute.
The Rambam just says, Ger shemol kodim sheneskai or kodim shemol ak yushimo shematid min adabris einan tzrichin bracha v'chein en jovinus imei rochar ami loso ishu ein ezachar vada.
Oh, and the Ravid?
He says, imei jovinus safik mevarech amal neishu safik garaisa ma safik garaisa mevarechin chutz min admai.
Yeah, the Ravid disagrees. So this is a major, major interesting argument. Right, you're doing the mitzvah again because of Safek L'chomra, but the question is, do you also make a bracha with it, you know, or not? So one of the rayas that the Ravid, you know, who the Imei tried to bring, the whole discussion of the Rambam about this in a tshuva to the Chacham Eloneil is, you know, from Kriya Shema. Like, it sounds like in Kriya Shema, you know, you would make the brachos again. The Rambam seems to say, no, Birchas Kriya Shema are different. They're more like integrated. This is something that the Rambam speak about a lot as well, but it comes from that discussion of the Rambam and his Tshuva to the Chacham Eloneil. So what is the status of Birchas Kriya Shema, you know, as opposed to other brachos? Is this like a typical bracha, or, you know, Birchas Kriya Shema are a kiyum in Kriya Shema even more than a regular Birchas HaMitzvah? And therefore, it might be that, you know, when you have Safek Kriya Shema and you're Chozer, and you say Kriya Shema again, you'll always say the Brachos, right? Mashen Kein, other Birchas HaMitzvah, right? Even as we're discussing the status of Birchas HaMitzvah and the extent to which it's an enhancement and a kiyum in the mitzvah itself, etc., right, it's important to acknowledge that there are different Birchas HaMitzvah, and this argument between the Rambam and the Ravid and the possibility of distinguishing different brachos of different mitzvahs, and especially Kriya Shema as an example, is also part of our bigger topic in a way. Okay? Now, having said that, Josh, let's get back to where we were. So the context is, you know, this issue. Right? Will you say any Birchas Kriya Shema, that's the Birchas Kriya Shema that's supposed to precede Kriya Shema, La'achar Kriya Shema. Oh. So what does he say here? He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. Am I right? Nir Be'inai. No, 1 second. No. First he quotes Rabbeinu. Where is that? Oh, here it is. Wait a second. That's why. I'm too much ahead. Tanhasam, right? This is the whatever Gemara that he's talking about. You have that line where he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel? We'll stop in a couple of minutes. I just want to. Where is he quoting Rabbeinu Chananel? Something. Oh, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. Da 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 da. Oh. And he has a line, if I remember correctly, where he says, from Rabbeinu Chananel we can derive the following. Second. Right? Very important for Birchas Kriya Shema. So now speaks the Or Zarua. The other Or Zarua is enormously, as you know, influenced by Rabbeinu Chananel, right? He always talks about Rabbeinu Chananel. A lot of Rabbeinu Chananels actually were preserved in the Or Zarua. Some that we don't have from other places. Yeah. Anyways, Lamadnu Mikan. Josh, go ahead. Oh, wow. So, again, this Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about Birchas Kriya Shema. The Or Zarua is extrapolating his very well-known shita. Again, we're not talking about the Rav Yah right now, which is the relationship between, you know, Kodem and Be'emtza. Now we're talking about the relationship between Kodem and La'achar. So the Rav Yah, the Or Zarua says, from Rabbeinu Chananel, we can extrapolate that that the din of kolam mitzvahs and bar kamayim over lasi yasan is not ma'akev, and that b'diavad you should make the bracha afterwards, just like you would in birchas kriyat shema. I'm already pointing out, based on the Rambam, who by the way was very influenced by Rabbeinu Chananel, as we also know, that you know, could be shiny birchas kriyat shema. Birchas kriyat shema might be different than other brachos. Okay, so okay, that might really be a kiyum in the mitzvah itself, not just a matir. But that doesn't stop the Orzer Ruah. He is extrapolating. And then he goes on to say, I lost it already where I was. Here it is. Biraila Davar. Go ahead. Well, now that's not surprising. When we read the Gemara, we pointed that out, of course. Tfilas Ger is going to be the poster boy for the Orzer Ruah, right? He's going to say, you see, from there, you don't have a choice. B'diavet. There is tziruf, A. And whatever the mechayev is, it's relevant. B'diavet. V'haraya. Tfilas ger. And probably Orzeru is more open also to extending it. Or maybe not. That could be for a different reason. I have to check that out. You know, to other tfilos as well. Could be yes, could be no. Right. Could be yes because b'diavet, you know, you could make a bracha la'achar. Could be no, because since the only reason that you're doing it here is because you don't have any other choice, so it could be whenever you do have a choice, you can't, and he can limit it. Okay, so that's an open question. But either way, Raya Ladabar Tzvila Zger, Shemivarech Achar Tzvila, go ahead. He doesn't think this is not Birchas HaMitzvah because of this din. But of course, it's so fascinating because this was the Raya that Ravina brought in Brachos, right? Go ahead, Mishum de Gavra Lachazi, Lamatz Levarech. Josh, you're reading really well. Kodum Lachain. You probably don't even, your vocal cords sound good, Josh. No? Huadin. Oh, Huadin with Shachach. Big key, big leap, right? Kvar Overlas. It's true that now we can't do anything about what he forgot. Shemavar, Lach again, but of course, shiny to shiny, maybe that's how they were metakein Tvila's Ger, it's not really a Birchas HaMitzvah. Or, that's, there's Tziruf, or they were metakein a different kind of Birchas HaMitzvah, whatever it is, this huge gap in this Raya. Vesu Raya. Well, now comes the next raya. Right, if you're going to bring a raya from Tvila, so bring a raya from Ravina, right? Kahina perik shlosh shachlu. But again, this is the, you're going to bring a raya from that Gemara. The Tosa Rosh brought a raya in the opposite direction, because we don't paskin like Ravina, right? Josh? So it's a problem, or it's an issue. So let's see how it gets resolved. Go ahead. He also brought the raya from there, right? Yeah, he also might. No. Good. So, of course, now the Orzer Ruah should have a problem. Near Beinai. Go ahead. Lisa Laraya to Ravina, Migir. Meaning the Gemara is Docha the Raya. But that doesn't mean they were Docha Ravina. That's a very Docha way to read the Gemara. Meaning the Orzer Ruah is saying, I think we pass him like Ravina. Go ahead, Miu. Meaning what? Maybe it's a special din in Suda. I'll keep going. The Pirush Rach, the Pirush Hasam, the Leis Hichas HaKarabina. You say, oh, we have a stira in the rocks. The rocks paskins there against Ravina. Excuse me. And here, he's extrapolated from the rach that you can make a bracha after the fact. So it doesn't occur to him to be mechalik between Birkas Hananin and Birkas HaMitzvah. Correct? And it doesn't occur to him to say it's shiny Birkas Kuyashma Mishar Birkas HaMitzvah either for the rach. Correct? So what is he going to say? The Hacha Pasuk Tabatzi Lebarech Yotzer Acha Kuyashma. So this is what he meant when he said before that Ravina, you know, even if we're not, number one, maybe Ravina's Aliba de Hilchasan, we were just Oka the Raya. Number two, maybe we don't paskin like Ravina, but Ravina, we're going to narrow Ravina's objection. Shiny Demairi, Besuda. Now again, you could have thought that he was what he was saying here was, though, you know, you can't bring a raya from Birchas Hananin. That's a whole different story. There, it's not going to work, but it'll work in Birchas HaMitzvah. That's not what he says. He could have said that, the Or Zeruah, but he's not saying that. What is he saying? In Birchas HaSeuda, there's a technical difference between that and Birchas HaMitzvah. Not necessarily on the level of the Mechayev. What's the difference? In Birchas HaSeuda, there's a tziruv problem, because the second that you finish the meal, truly, you have a chi of bracha achrona. When there's a chi of bracha achrona, then the bracha rishona is paka. It's too late. But there's nothing to determine that the Birchas HaMitzvah is gone. Right? I mean, you could have said the opposite. You could have said, Birchas HaNenin, it's whatevering b'me'ayim, and so on and so forth, at least for a certain amount of time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, you have to make a bracha achrona for it, so that's mitzarev, you know. But even Birchas HaMitzvah is done and done. Nasa nasa. The Or Zeruah is making the opposite chiluk l'shitaso, because he's convinced, based on this rach, based on other things, that there is tziruf always, and you don't need, you know, the matir theme for Birchas HaMitzvah. I don't know, it's hard to say, hard to explain. So for him, the exception, the ending of the tziruf, is actually in Suda. Just keep going. Just one sec. You'll see what I'm saying. Is correct. Levada either Ravina shiny to marry Besuda. Dasal Adam Shia Shayana Blamazebla Bracha. The Kivin the Avar Vacha Vigia Bracha Krona. Tzarek Levarek Bracha Krona. What do you mean Tzarek Levarek Bracha Krona? Meaning, it's you're in a new phase. Mash Inkain Birchas HaMitzvos hold the Einach Rea Bracha. It's a fascinating idea. What he's saying is, if we, you know, the Gemara Menachos, second, the Gemara Menachos has a possibility, you know, that you should make brachos afterwards. Now the Gemara rejects it, lahalacha. Right? It sounds like the Or Zeruah is saying, if there was a bracha achrona for mitzvos, then he would agree with, he would agree that you know, that it would be too late. He doesn't say that explicitly. I'm just thinking aloud. Right? Yerushalmi has sometimes a bracha la'achar. Just like Yerushalmi has a bracha on chafetz shel mitzvah too. We'll talk about that a little bit also. On creating a chafetz shel mitzvah, you make a bracha, according to Yerushalmi. But he's saying something very... Again, you could have said, no, even if there's a bracha achrona, the bracha achrona of the mitzvah, the bracha achrona of the... In one case, it's a different phase. In one case, it's just, you know, putting it all, you know, to end until you do it. You still can be mechalek, and you can be mechalek in the opposite direction completely here. I mean, the Rambam, I think, would say to you, even according to Ravina, this is an issue. First of all, even if there is an equation, Mashen came brachas mitzvah hol vein achra bracha ema filo achar maisa yaksa yivarech. He's saying there's no end. The tziruf is not paka. V'hevi raya harav Rav Moshe Rav Yaakov from Birei Chala Pesach Patar Sazevach, which is Chagigas Yedaled. Voice in the Kalos Rishon of Eishu Mishkachas Rav Kagon Sheshachach V'yachal. That's again, it's an assumption. That's how it goes. That also could have a lot to do with the relationship between Chagigas Yedaled and Korban Pesach, as we've discussed it, right, as a kind of an adjunct korban, you know, and that's why Yidavka should wait, you can wait. Okay. So there is a lot to say about the Zohar Zarua, is what I'm trying to show. Udelo, this is all meant to be in contrast, Kedivre Harav Rav Moshe Rav Maimon, Shekasav in Kiddush Yishev Lo Birech Kodem Lo Yivarech, Acha Kishafilu Devaro Shos, also Kibirchus HaMitzvah. Which lets you understand that he disagrees with Rambam on two levels. Number one, he thinks that you can make a bracha, birchas hamitzvah la'achar siyasa. And number two, he just thinks it's not even a birchas hamitzvah. Why is it not a birchas hamitzvah? Miyam naginan, anu naginan, lekadesh v'achkach levarech. Actually, right? The ein zu. Birchas Kiddushin, whole Shainin and Mavarcha Meshachet Shonim Sosim Etzan L'Kaddish Sa'isha, this is a little like the Rush. It's a Birchas, you know, whatever it is, Shavach V'Hodah, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Or Kiddush Ha'isha, Ele Mishim Chovas Erisin Tiknu. Kamosha Tiknu Vav Bracha, he compares Birchas Erisin to the Sheva Brachos. Wow. Right? L'Chovas Nisuin. It's interesting because the Rishonim debate whether or not the Sheva Brachos under the Chuppah are Birchas HaMitzvah, that's the view of the Ran, right? Or they're Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, like the Beis Yosef, Pashtus, the Beis Yosef is correct. But the Ran says, oh, it's like Birchas Erison, even though there are six of them. Or Zeruah goes the other way. He also assumes there's an equation between Birchas Erison and Birchas Nisuin, just that instead of Birchas Erison, you know, instead of Birchas Nisuin being like Birchas Erusin, it's Birchas Erusin or like Birchas Nisuin. Right? Then he explains, right? V'osar Saruso, Slatzmenu, Belav Delasasur, Kala Bloblokar Sulabala Kanida, you know, and so on. And we don't need to go through the whole thing. Then, okay, basically. You get the idea. So the point is that the discussion of the Tosa Rush, the discussion in the Shakavataria in Brachos, in one direction, namely invoking Tefillah for Birchas HaNenin, and then the interesting argument and discussion of the Rivam and the Ravya on Tocha Bracha, and then the equally interesting argument of the or Zeruah against the Rambam by expanding the Rabbeinu Chananel, right, and also his completely different take on Ravina, and even if there isn't a now, Ravina might be lahalacha, and even if Ravina isn't lahalacha, you know, to make the distinction because of bracha achrona in the direction that he does. All of this is very significant, you know, both for the tziruf issue, right, different perspectives, as well as for the bigger question, how we look at Birchas HaMitzvah, right, vis-a-vis, you know, Birchas, you know, Hanen. Okay? So, I'm going to stop because I have to run soon. So let's talk still, by the way, the Shach in Yoredeya, Simen Yud Tes, Siv Katan Gimel, as is well known, is Docha the position of Yor Zeruah. I think we saw it already when we learned Chulin. But and he's Docha some of these Rayas, so it may be worthwhile looking at that just very quickly. Okay, so getting back to the other possibility of, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah being a standalone, so I just want to talk a little bit more before we talk about the Nusach HaBracha. For Nusach HaBracha, see the Rishonim Al Atar, meaning the Rush, the Ran, the Ramban here in the Chidushin, and of course the Rambam in Perikid Aleph, Milchas Brachos, and you know, we'll add one or two other things, but just to get a basic idea. But before we do that, I just want to speak a little more of what I spoke about, started speaking about the other day, which is the phenomenon of two brachos, or three brachos, like Talmud Torah, you know, Mila. Let's particularly speak a little bit more about Mila, because that comes up here in the Rishonim, like when you make these brachos, what the nature of the brachos are. Can you have two birchas ha-mitzvah? Like, what would that look like, frankly? So, okay, we'll continue with this a little bit more next time, and then we'll move on to the Aleph, Al, and the Lamed, and then hopefully next week I'll have a couple more shiurim. We'll see how long we can go on the Safek question. So again, Daf Tes and Daf Yud. Okay? Good. Yeah.
I was thinking that the Orzara might be Lashitaso, because he says in Kul Nim that there was a